Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again for our weekly webcast. We're delighted to have a guest with us this evening, Wendy Mann. We'll introduce her in a minute, but it's actually Barry's first time in 2025 on the webcast, so we ought to just say hello to him. So, hello, Barry. How did you get on last week?
Where was I last week? Oh, the school of ministry. Yes. See, I'm new to this thing. You know? It's the first live stream of the year. Yeah, everything went really well. That we had, I think, 32 really hungry hearts from different parts of the world. I was at a leader school, for those who don't know, at the school of ministry. But yeah, everything went well. But I'm great. I'm glad to be here with you, Mark, and of course Wendy. A warm welcome to the live stream. And yeah, we're all looking forward to hearing you share today.
Yeah, thank you. So Wendy is from the UK, from Bedford. I met her a few years ago when she and a few people from her church came on one of our Father Heart schools. But Wendy's actually been doing Father Heart schools and Father Heart encounters for many years, haven't you, Wendy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say that I'm still very much learning. Learn the revelation of God as my Father, which I'm sure is a lifelong journey. So yeah, but we started conferences, oh my gosh, maybe up to 17-18 years ago. So yeah. For quite a while. It's really transformed me in many ways. There's still lots to learn.
Well, I think we're all in that same boat, Wendy, of, you know, what was it, Barry, that Jack Winter said, you know, we're just three-year-olds teaching two-year-olds or something.
That's a great quote.
Sure.
We're all on that journey. And we're going to hear from Wendy this evening, hear a bit of her story. She's just written a new book called Hosting God's Presence. Yeah. And that's her website. You can get her book on Amazon. It's in paperback format or in Kindle format, and I would really recommend it. You know, I think I read it. It came out last summer, did it, Wendy?
Yes, June time.
June. I got recommended it, I think, in July, and got a copy and read it and really found it very, very good, very helpful. And particularly the first part of the book is very much about us personally experiencing God's presence, whereas the second part is more like for worship leaders and church leaders and meeting leaders, but a lot of good stuff, and we'll unpack some of that. But we're not just talking about a book this evening. We are going to be talking about a book, but we're trusting that we're going to really experience and encounter God's presence together through this time. And I know Wendy's got a lot of life and experience she'll be sharing with us as we go through. So Barry, would you just like to pray for us before we start?
Yeah, it would be my delight. Sorry. So Father, we thank you.
Go for it.
Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
All right. I'm just kind of breaking up on my end here. So, Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Wendy and just the calling in her life. And we just pray a blessing on her as she shares just her life with us today. And that's the beauty of each and every individual son and daughter that you have, that we can just be ourselves and just reveal the nuggets of gold that you've given each one. So help us to have an ear to hear what your spirit is saying, to encounter your love in a deeper way, and just be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Barry. We'll bring you back in later, if that's okay.
God bless you.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry.
So, Wendy, thank you for being with us on the webcast. We're really grateful for you giving up the time. Just tell us give us a little bit of background. Who is Wendy Mann? What has she done? What does she do now? What's your passion? You know, go on, just let us in a little bit.
Sure. Well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for inviting me, Mark and Barry. It's such a privilege. I was just thinking about that picture you showed. I look a little bit older than that picture now. I probably need to update my website.
No, keep it the same.
Anyway, Okay, yeah, just pretend. I as you said, live in Bedford, originally from Worthing on the south coast of England. Moved to Bedford to train as a teacher, and I've been here ever since. And I really, it was life changing for me, really, because I met the Holy Spirit. I did an Alpha course. Would have said I was a Christian, but really learnt the gospel for the first time and got baptized in the Spirit. And it really, I've never lost a hunger for more of His presence. I think it was a very significant time for me. I've taught for a little bit. I used to teach PE. Mm-hmm. I've been part of the King's Arms Church here in Bedford for many, many years. I was on staff for many years. And about 4 years ago, God spoke to me about launching my own ministry. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's called Wendy Man Equip. The heart, well, there's various different things I get to do. One thing is I get to serve 18 to 35 year olds with a ministry that we call Rooted, which I absolutely love. I love seeing the next generation come through. I feel very called to be a mum, although I'm not married and I'm not able to have my own children. I feel like God's redeemed it in a beautiful way. It's by the next generation. Can you still hear me? I feel like, yeah. I broke up a little bit there.
Yeah, you did, but we got you back.
Okay,
yes,
I'll carry on. Okay. So, and then I'm passionate about God's presence being at the center of the church, passionate about churches being full of life, believers being full of life, seeing God's kingdom come in power, seeing people step into their calling. That's kind of the stuff that gets me going. I want to see churches full of believers who are passionate about Jesus and yeah. who are free and healthy and can be all that He's called them to be. So that'll be a little summary.
Wonderful. We need more of that, Wendy. Yeah, I think there's a real need for that across the church. You've written a couple of books, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about some of your earlier books, and then we'll come on to the latest one.
Yeah, so the first book I wrote is called Naturally Supernatural, The Normal Christian Life. I was leading a supernatural school at the time, which I led for about 8 years. And really the heart of the school was to learn to be like Jesus and do the stuff that He did without being weird, or trying to be as least weird as possible. So it's basically documents some of our story of trying to see healings on the streets, and trying to prophesy over people on the streets, and understanding that it's all rooted in the Father. You've got to know your identity. And so it's all about that. And the second book I wrote is called Leading as Sons and Daughters. It's for anyone, really. It's not just for leaders. But again, that is out of my own journey of leading out of insecurity and learning that leaders can be either secure or insecure, but the fruit you produce is very different. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about how do you grow in security and what does a secure leader look like. But also, I mean, all of us are called to influence people, so how can we do that in a secure way? Mm-hmm. So that's the other one.
Just in a couple of sentences, how does the fruit differ from being secure or insecure?
Things like when you're insecure, you probably keep your mask on and pretend everything's okay, and you don't really show people who you really are. Whereas when you can lead out of security, you can model vulnerability and authenticity. I think when you're insecure, you perhaps don't have the courageous conversations you need to have. But when you're secure, you can challenge people well. Mm-hmm. I think when you're insecure, you potentially are controlling. You lead out of a place of fear. You might micromanage. Whereas when you're secure, you release people and you give good feedback, but you want them to flourish. It's not about competition, them going further than me. You want people to flourish and go beyond you. Mm-hmm. You want to leave a legacy. So I think it's those kind of things.
That's really good. I think that would be something that would be good for many of us to get hold of. All of your books are on Amazon, I guess, aren't they? Mm-hmm. So they just put your name into Amazon and they'll all pop up. And I'd encourage you guys just to have a look at those. But we particularly just want to talk have a chat about this new book, Hosting God's Presence, A Practical Guide. You start the book with a quote from A.W. Tozer. The world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence. Let me read that again. The church is perishing, the world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence. I guess that's a quote that kind of is the background for why you wrote the book.
Yes. Basically, I wrote the book really because I have the privilege of traveling around to lots of different churches, which is such an honor. But honestly, when I go into many churches, my question often is, where is God? Now, I know that God's obviously everywhere, all the time. But when I meet, what I mean by that is, where is his manifest presence? Where are the signs of his power? Where are the signs of him drawing near, us making space for him? And I don't think, well, I know it's not a reluctance on his part. I know that he loves to cook with his people.
Yeah.
So I think it was more, it would like people to be hungry for more, but also to equip people with confidence when it comes to recognizing his manifest presence and hosting his presence when he draws near.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but just let's kind of clear out your definition of God.
Okay.
No, it's because the book's called Hosting God's Presence, and quite early on in the book, you're very clear that you're using the term God to describe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's right, isn't it, Wendy? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've done that deliberately.
Yes. I mean, to be honest, Mark, it was a challenging book to write, because as I was writing, I suddenly started to realize, well, I'm saying God here, but there are different, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. Who does what role and how do you define it? And I didn't want to get so caught up in that I lost the essence of what I was saying, which is ultimately we've got to be hungry for more of him.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I tended to use God, because it just saved me having to try and work out, should I be saying Jesus here? I didn't want to put God in a box, basically.
Yeah.
But we have got to realize that when we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come, and when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. We're not talking about something secondary to God. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't an easy one. I'm not a theologian in any stretch of the imagination. So, I had my theologian friends look through it and give me some pointers, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very helpful, because I guess as we're going to be talking, you're going to be using the term, you know, God's presence. And sometimes you'll use Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But you're basically saying it's all wrapped up together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. OK, so when did you become a Christian, Wendy?
Well, that's a good question. I was brought up going to church, but there was no Holy Spirit, no mention of the presence of God. So really, I would say it's when I did Alpha, when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. At university?
I did an Alpha course.
And in your book, you describe, you describe your time at King's Arms as being a little bit overwhelming, a little bit too much, a little bit over the top. So you kind of carried on doing the Alpha course, but you slipped away to another church for a period of time. That's right, isn't it?
So true. Yeah. Well, I grew up knowing that there was more. So I remember we would sing in the church about hymns about being full of joy, and I'd look around the church and think, I don't see loads of joy. There must be more. And I had gone to different events as a teenager and seen God's power moving, but I didn't know what it was, and so it just freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I came to the King's Arms, there was a lot of space for God's presence to come, and like people were manifesting all over the place, but no one was really explaining anything. And so I was just like, I want more, but I don't want all of this. And so it was a bit too much for a season, and I went to a different church that felt a little bit more tame.
And then you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit on Alpha.
Yes.
And what happened? Yes. Go on, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I knew that they were going to invite people to be filled with the Spirit on this Alpha course. We had a weekend away. And I was still nervous, to be honest, because I didn't know what he was going to do to me. I was nervous about being out of control and looking silly. But I think I'd just seen something in the leaders of the course that was different to what I had. There was like a life behind their eyes. There was a security in their heart. And so, yeah, they gave the invitation. I stood up, put my hands out, as you do, you know, to have this posture of receiving. And it was amazing. I mean, God was so kind. There weren't any fireworks. It wasn't, if you were just watching, you wouldn't think anything was happening. But I just felt like this warmth go through my body, like this, yeah, it's difficult to explain. It's just warmth. I just felt the nearness of God, like he was, like feeling like he was real for the first time, experiencing his nearness. Felt tingling in my hands. I just stood there for ages because I was like, this is amazing.
Wow.
So it was a beautiful moment.
Okay. An optional extra or a must have?
The Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Must have.
Good.
Must have. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You look at Jesus when he's talking to his disciples in John 15, I think it is, John 14, 15. I think it's John 16. He says to them, it's better that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can be poured out. So imagine the disciples, they've walked with Jesus for 3 years. They've had this intense training. They don't really understand what's going on, but all of a sudden they're hearing Jesus say, I'm going to be going away. And they're like freaking out. What do you mean you're going to go away? And they don't really understand it. But then he's talking about this promised Holy Spirit. And then he says, it's actually, guys, it's better that I go because then the Holy Spirit can be poured out. So, and again, in Acts, you know, he says, don't go anywhere until you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were all together praying and then Pentecost happened. So the Holy Spirit was so important to Jesus. And I just wonder if we have the same heart or passion for his presence. So,
yes, I think that's a question we would ask as well, you know, like, I mean, one of my questions I was going to ask you, Wendy, is like, I think my experience, your experience from what you've already said is we try and put conditions on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, what happens? Why do we put conditions on him? What happens when we put conditions on him? You know, just talk to us about that, because I think there's something in your heart about this.
Yeah, well, I used to be that person. I used to say, you know, God, I want to know you more. I want to feel you more, because essentially the Holy Spirit is, for me, he's what helps you. He helps you experience the truth of the word. So it's an experiential thing. And so I often would say, I want to know more. But I don't fall over. I don't want to laugh too much. I don't want to be too loud. But you can do this, this, and this. And I think for me, it came out of not really understanding who he was or what he would do, what his role was in my life. But also, it was fear. There was fear of what he might do when he comes. I think because my understanding of him wasn't rooted in knowing God as a father at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was also pride for me, because I didn't want to sound stupid or look stupid. I didn't want to stand out in any way. That was really underneath it all, was pride and a fear of looking silly. And I think God is incredibly kind. So he doesn't force his way. Actually, you don't want that to happen. Wham, here we go. I'm going to come and do what you don't want me to want you to do. But what's happened with me is, over time, as I've had tastes of his presence and encountered him, the hunger in my heart has just grown.
Mm-hmm.
to the point where I've now got to saying, I don't care what it looks like or sounds like, I just have got to have more of you. And what's amazing is sometimes when he comes, it's peaceful and tender and so precious, like when he comes like a dove. It's so mm-hmm. gentle, it's mm-hmm. so peaceful. Other times when he comes, it's like the wind and fire at Pentecost, and it's expressive and loud and like weeping and laughing. And I'm a big believer that we need to encounter the full spectrum of the Spirit and everything he wants to give us, everything he wants to do,
yeah,
the dove yes. and the fire, because it gives us a taste of what God's like, and yeah. it reminds us of who we are, and it reminds us of our need of him. And, yeah.
Yeah, yes. This is something I was going to come to later on, but it's kind of, we got into it now. It's this word, more. You know, I know it's something we've pursued, you know, my wife and I, it's like we always want the more, and you know, we're prepared to go places to find it. And it's that hunger, isn't it? You know, how does that hunger grow in us? How do we make space for that hunger? How do we acknowledge that hunger? How do we say this is real, and not kind of settle for the status quo and the passiveness? But you know, how does this hunger consume us, Wendy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting one. Is really important when it comes to meeting with God and providing a space for him to come and fill us. He is looking for hunger. And I've asked that question a lot, because I've been to different places and thought, I just don't know if people are hungry. And I often think, for me, I think the thing that makes believers hungry for more of God is when they get a taste of what it's like to encounter him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you can be hungry for a roast dinner, for example, or whatever it is your favorite food is. But as soon as it comes out into the table and you can see it, immediately your hunger goes to a new level, doesn't it? It's like, oh, and now I can almost eat it. I think it's the same in the church. I think there's a lack of hunger often in the church because people don't know what they can be hungry for.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize. Whereas if you start to see God come and set people free from spiritual oppression, or if you see people healed of cancer, or if you see people get saved, or marriages restored, or you encounter God's power and his peace, or if you taste and see something, I think what happens in the kingdom is it increases your hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't settle, because when you encounter God's presence, what the Holy Spirit loves to do is he loves to show us Jesus. And so when the Holy Spirit draws near, it's like he opens our eyes to see Jesus, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to know more. And I think it's a cyclical pattern, isn't it? So I think we've got to create space to encounter, because I think that's what sparks hunger.
Yeah. And does this hunger, in a personal setting, we have to be hungry ourselves, right? And we have to let that hunger grow, and as you say, you know, we taste and see that the Lord is good. Bring that into a corporate setting, because you and I know, you know, we travel around, we go to different churches, you know, you and I know that we can stand at the front of a church and we can look at the congregation and we can almost see those that are hungry and perhaps those not so. You know, how do we bring this hunger, this desire, this longing for more of God's presence, how do we bring that into a corporate setting? Because I know you write about it in your book, and I know you've got experience of that, but you know, this, you know, like you said, you know, you go into a church and think, are people awake? You know, I've been into churches and they're looking at their phones and you kind of think, oh, you know, why are they here? They could do that at home. Yeah. You know, how do we create this sort of desire beyond the personal level, but in a corporate level?
Well, I think there's various different things you could do, isn't there? I think if you're not in leadership and you're not able to shape stuff from the front, which actually in my context, often I'm just a member. I say just, I'm there to worship, yeah. Not leading in that capacity. So what I do in that instance is I realize that I can provoke and inspire hunger by just loving Jesus freely. I'm personally trying to just not care what people think, be passionate, express my love to Jesus. And, you know, I think that can be a really, an incredible provocation. So I remember in our church, we had a guy who would be extremely expressive in worship, shouting at all the wrong moments, telling Jesus how much he loved him. And people would come to the leaders and say, can we please ask him to be a bit quiet? He's interrupting our worship time. And the Holy Spirit said to our leaders, don't touch him. Just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
What people didn't realize is that he had been massively and radically set free from a drug addiction.
Wow.
So this guy basically is responding out of what God has done for him. And he just loves Jesus and is hungry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that his response is exactly what our response should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can bring it inspiration and influence through us just being free,
mm-hmm.
and expressing our love for God. I think if you're in leadership, there's various different things you can do. I think we've got to teach people on baptism in the Spirit.
Is that a one-off event, Wendy?
I'm not going to get into the theology, but I would say, for me, I would rather lean into what Paul says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, well, be being filled. So I just mm-hmm. want more. I just want yes. more of the presence of God. So
yeah.
I don't know all the ins and outs, but I just know he wants to come and fill us, and there's always more. So
yeah.
I think we can assume a lot of people and assume that they know the Holy Spirit and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can teach into worship. I think we can share stories authentically from our own lives of what God's done and how it's impacted us. And I think the other thing we can do is we can leave space. And I think that's the challenge sometimes as leaders. We're so stuck on a program of, you know, welcome, worship, announcements, preach, and maybe a prayer, that we're not making space when the manifest presence of God draws near. My mm-hmm. conviction is we've got to make space and change the plan to linger in his presence.
Yeah.
Because it's in his presence, he can do anything. When he comes, let him do what he wants to do. Because I think that's what helps to stir hunger.
Can we only do that lingering and changing the plan if we're at the front as a leader?
Well, it's interesting you should say that. Part of my challenge sometimes is when I'm not leading, is I have that moment of, oh, God's really close. And then I know that the person at the front is about to move us on. And I'm like, no, let's just stay here. But God spoke to me several months ago now. He said to me, Wendy, you don't have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You can just stay. So for the last little while now, at the end of worship, I've just stayed in his presence, and that's been beautiful for me.
So the notices can happen, the children can go out to their children's work, the meeting can move on, but you're going to stay in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that?
For me, I tend to just move myself to the side, sit on the floor, and I'm just what I'm trying to do is keep my eyes closed and stay connected in my heart to him.
Yeah.
So you can also listen. I'm very aware of what's going on, but I'm just waiting, just being,
mm-hmm.
just receiving.
Yeah.
Just in my heart saying, thank you for your presence, God. I just want more of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of the people watching this webcast are not leaders in churches. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people watching the webcast have really got in their heart that desire for more, you know, that longing for more. And, you know, I think what you've just said is really helpful, is just to give people permission to to kind of say, yeah, I'm staying. I'm hanging around in his presence, irrespective of what else is going on. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, God is big enough to deal with the notices and the children's work and the sermon and our individual encounter with him, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, he's not, he's got the capacity for all of that, which is wonderful. A couple of things you said, Wendy, you said the Holy Spirit gives you a greater desire and passion for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has also given you this greater intimacy with the Father, where you kind of, you know your identity, you know who you are. So just talk to us a little bit about how that works. You know, how do we get closer to Jesus? How do we get closer to the Father through an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Because these three persons of the Trinity are separate but so interwoven. You know, we try to put them in their boxes, but yet they're not in a box and we can't do that. So just open that up a little bit for us.
Well, I would say I'm still very much learning on this. And again, I'm not always like, oh yeah, I'm meeting with the Father now. Oh, now I'm meeting with Jesus. I think when I'm on my own with God, I'm sometimes thinking, and when I'm praying, thinking about connecting with the Father or specifically speaking to Jesus. And I definitely am feeling like the Holy Spirit is helping me to understand different facets of who they are. But yeah, I'm not very good. I'm not like a boxing stuff. But
good.
Yeah, I think for me I think the biggest journey for me about the Father, where the more I talk about heart and experiencing all the traits of a mother through him as well. And I think what happens for me is, I think it's a mixture of many different things. So mm-hmm. Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of adoption. So, and Romans 8 tells us that by him we cry, Abba, Father, and that he testifies with our spirit that we're children. Mm-hmm. So there's a faith thing there, because sometimes I don't feel very much like a daughter. I don't feel like I know the Father very much at all. Mm-hmm. But there's a faith thing for me of, okay, Holy Spirit, you're the spirit of adoption. So I'm going to ask you again to come and fill me and to speak truth to me. It says in Scripture, I can't remember exactly, oh, Romans 5, that the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit that is shed poured on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the love of God. So it's a faith thing. So it's like, Holy Spirit, would you reveal the Father to me? Would you show me what he's like? Father, would you speak to me? Would you speak truth to me? And it's a faith thing. It's a trust thing. I would say as well, though, Mark, the other thing that has been important on this journey for me has been sometimes what the Holy Spirit does is he will point out wounds in our hearts and wrong thinking and pain mm-hmm. that gets in the way of us being able to relate to the Father or relate to Jesus. And so it's a journey of also letting him point out to me, actually, Wendy, there's some wounds in your heart mm-hmm. and I want you to work on them. I want you to get with someone, pray some things through, deal with some pain, grieve some things. And all of these together, the dealing with my heart, the asking the Holy Spirit to fill me, the obedience to the Holy Spirit. So when he asks me to offer to pray for the sick and I step out and I see mm-hmm. him do amazing things, all of those things work together to grow my relationship and connection with God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's not just, I'm not in a place where I've said, Holy Spirit, would you show me that I'm a daughter and wham, oh yeah, I know that I'm a daughter. I'm completely sorted. I'm mm-hmm. completely secure. This is a lifelong journey of, gosh, I don't think I get it today. Please help me, Holy Spirit. I need to know again, what does it mean to be a daughter today?
Yeah.
So it's a relationship, isn't it?
It is, yes. And the Holy Spirit gives us the courage to face the pain in our heart. And then, you know, it's that question of what do we do about it? And you got any practical pointers of what do we do when pain and hurt and trauma? Because you said get together with someone, you know, that can be a good thing, but it can actually be a terrible thing sometimes if we pick the wrong person.
Yeah, true.
So just give us a few, you know, from your experience, a few practical pointers on when, because it is a journey. It's going to be a lifelong journey of dealing with stuff. You know, how can we do that in a way that is safe for us?
Well, I think I've probably been quite blessed because I've got people around me who would know how to support me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really important. That, I mean, it depends on what's going on for you. I think First and foremost, just having someone who can sit with you while you express the pain. I think the most important thing is you've got to get the pain out. The pain isn't going anywhere. Like, you know, the whole phrase, time heals. Mm. It really doesn't. No. Jesus heals. So if you don't get the pain out and express it, it stays in you. It just gets compounded by other stuff. And trauma, I'm just beginning to learn about trauma. I don't fully understand it, but it's a real thing and it's a real impact on the body. And I think often we need professional help. And as I was saying earlier, I've been doing counselling since August and it's been hugely helpful for me. I've done years and years of praying things through, which has been hugely helpful. And this feels like it's dovetailing with that and it's bringing a different level of breakthrough. And all of it is under the sovereignty of Jesus and God is very much at the centre. And it's all about coming nearer to him and knowing him better. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something we don't talk about loads in the church, you know, lamenting, grieving. But it's so important because otherwise, what you tend to get otherwise is you get people relating to God, but just from their heads through their head knowledge, through lip service. And what I'm longing for is to be able to relate to God from my heart and from my gut. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to feel him in the deepest places of me. Yeah. And that means, in my experience, that I have to let him go to the deepest places of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I want to meet him in those places, I have to give him permission to go to those places. And it's not been easy. There's been a lot of grieving for me to work through and lots of pain. But, you know, the scripture talks about He's a father who loves to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
But you can know that as information, but you can only know that experientially if you give him your broken heart and see what he does.
Yeah.
So he's after relationship. He's not after formulas. He's not after us doing what we think is the right thing. He's a father who longs for us to be children. And some of us, the challenge is learning what it means to be children because we grew up too quickly. Or we weren't able to be sons and daughters in our homes. Yeah. So there's so much that you could talk about. People probably need to come to one of your schools to unpack all of that.
Or yours. I mean, I think what you just highlighted there, Wendy, is so true. We are so good as a group of people. We are so good at head knowledge and paying lip service. And, you know, that's kind of... You know, I see that so often, you know, and I want to break through that, and I want to help people break through that. And, you know, I want to feel like I go to church on Sunday and think, yeah, here's a bunch of people that want to break through and not just be here for a social event, but actually to encounter the living God in a real way. And It's when you've encountered a relationship, you know that's what you want to pursue, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
But it's messy.
It is messy.
You know, it's not cleaned and all packaged and controlled. But when you look at children with their parents, that's true. It's not clean and packaged and controlled. It's messy and there's challenges and there's pain and there's mystery. Good parents want to hear all about it and want you to come to them, and that's what the father's like.
Yeah. So our churches, this is probably a naughty question, Wendy, but our church is happy to accept the mess on a Sunday morning.
I think it depends on the church. I don't know. I think we can, I mean, I feel challenged even thinking about this, Mark. I think I say all of this. If I was leading my own church, would I be as okay with it? I don't know. You know, it's easy for me to say it from a point of view of I'm not leading somewhere. But I think my conviction is that I just think God wants the real us. And I think far too often we're going through the motions, or and he receives it and accepts it because he's kind. But I just think he's after heart connection, and heart connection and heart relationship is messy. I think as leaders, if you are a leader watching, one of the key things you can do to help people in that you're leading is to model mess. Model your own mess in the safest possible. I'm not saying you go and talk about everything to everyone. But I think as leaders, we've got to model vulnerability and authenticity because it gives people permission.
And I think for us who go along and perhaps feel frustrated, what you said earlier, Wendy, I think is really important and really helpful, is that we can look after our own heart. And irrespective of what is going on or not going on in a corporate gathering, we can give time for ourselves and give permission to ourselves to say, I'm going to linger in his presence. I'm going to stay in this place. And I think you're right, Wendy, that as we do that, it's infectious, isn't it? It catches, hopefully it catches, and other people start to, you know, I mean, I know sometimes in our church, I can think, you know, I can feel like I'm in a dead spot on a Sunday morning. And, you know, I can see on the other side of the room, it's a bit livelier, or there's life, you know, and you go and find those places, don't you, where there's life and where you can soak and where your heart can be open, because it's all about our heart being open. Can I just pick up on something? I think it was either chapter 2 or chapter 3 of your book, which I found really kind of helpful. And I think it would be helpful for many people. You said in your book that as you said two things, actually. Well, you said a lot of things, but you said two particular things on this statement. You said, as you experience God's presence, you said, I feel most myself. Mm-hmm. And you then said, as I experience God's presence, I know that I've come home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. You know, and I guess that's kind of what you're reaching out for there. You feel most yourself, you feel fully alive. What does that look like? What does it mean to come home? What does it mean to feel yourself? Because I guess what you're saying is there are times that you don't feel yourself.
Most of the time. No. What I mean is, I just think, Mark, when I'm in a space where I suddenly can sense the manifest presence of God, I mean, my favorite space really is in a time of worship. And you know, in those times of worship where everything kind of goes quiet and there's like a hush, and you're like, oh yeah, God is here. I think what happens for me is there's a remembering in that moment. Oh yeah, I've been made for him. I've been made for his presence. It's like a reset moment. It kind of, everything else that I've been swirling around and stressing around and has been difficult kind of just quietens down. I'm just aware of his nearness. It kind of resets. It's kind of a, this is what I've been made for. It's comfortable. It's comforting. It's peaceful. I think it just reminds me that this is what it's all about. This is what I'm made for. Things just make sense. Just things make sense, more sense in his presence, you know. When he comes, it's like, it kind of brings clarity and,
Because one of the things you write about in the book is, you know, his presence is not limited to the corporate gathering, the Sunday morning, the Wednesday evening house group, whatever. But I guess from what you said, you experience those moments of intimacy, of value, of worth, of just gazing upon him and his beauty. I guess you experience that in your living room, your kitchen, those quiet times. I know you like walking when you're out for a walk. Are they more real to you than the corporate times, or as real? Or
I think there's something special about meeting with God with others, because obviously, you know, in scripture it talks about where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So yes, definitely there are times when I'm out walking with my friend and we're talking about something, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, I can really sense God's presence, and it's just beautiful. Or if I'm just, what I'll just do sometimes is just sit and say, Holy Spirit, would you just fill me? And I think the challenge for me in those moments when it's not a church meeting is to linger long enough, because I've got all the things in my head that I need to do, you know. So yeah, I think both are precious.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it when it's just me, but I probably find it a little bit easier in a room with others, just because that's what the focus is.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls." And I think we live in a society that is busy. There's not a lot of rest. There's a lot of people around us. And probably, we are the same sometimes, where we know that it feels like we've got this internal engine inside of it and we're not at rest. And rest is nothing to do with lying on the sofa, putting your feet up. I mean, that's great. We need those times of rest. But the rest, I think, you're talking about when you're talking about this experiencing God's presence, it's that deeper rest, isn't it? That. You just kind of were touching on a little bit then, I felt.
It's an internal soul rest. It's not just a body rest. Or a mind rest. It's the deepest place rest. You know, it's difficult to explain. But
when we find that place, it does our mind and our body good as well, because it flows from the inside out. Yeah,
true.
Very good. Wendy, I'm going to invite Barry back on.
Yeah, great.
And then I just wonder if we'll join in, but would you like to lead us just in a time of prayer, just to...
Yeah, I'd love to.
For us to, you know, encounter him at a deeper level, you know, whatever that looks like for us. And, you know, those of us watching now, we might just want to just open our hearts to receive. Those watching later, just find that place where we can receive, and you know, we want to experience his presence in a deeper way. So Wendy, feel free.
let's just invite him to come, and just encourage you wherever you are, just to maybe close your eyes, put your hands out, put your hand on your heart, and we'll just invite him to come. Father, we want to say that we love you so much, and so grateful for your pursuit of us, your kindness towards us. Father, we just long to know you more. We long to experience your love, just long to experience the love that Paul talks about in Ephesians, that is a love that surpasses knowledge, to know your love that surpasses knowledge. That means we have to experience it. It's a revelation thing. It's a Holy Spirit. I just pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching. Would you come now? Would you fill them afresh with your precious and wonderful presence?
Yeah.
Just come, Holy Spirit. Just thank you that you know where they're at. You know what they need. Thank you, God, that you're Elroy, the Lord who sees. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and comfort those who need comfort. You would give wisdom to those who need wisdom, that you would heal those who are desperate for healing breakthrough.
Mm.
Yeah. Just speak healing into people's bodies and minds in the name of Jesus. Spirit, would you be counselor to those who need counsel? And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that it bring like deeper revelation of what it means that we're adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of adoption, would you make our adoption more real than we've ever known?
Yeah.
It's a work of the Spirit. We can't muster it up. We can't work it out. We need you to show us, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Come up in us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's pray, Father, for anyone watching who's just in a very desperate place. I just pray that they would know your hand on them right now. Father, where the enemy would want to come and tell them they're isolated and they're on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We just break that lie in Jesus' name. Just break any spirit of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Command it to lift off of people now in the name of Jesus. And Father, come, rush in with your comfort, with your truth, with your nearness.
Yeah.
Pray you'd lift off heaviness, lift off clouds of depression, lift off oppression, Father. Mm. Just pray, come and blow it away, Holy Spirit. I just pray, we just declare and release life over every person. Just declare and release life in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Father, help us to be a people who linger in your presence.
Yeah.
That we find and experience and live in your presence. And we would be like Moses that said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going anywhere. That we would just stay in that place where you are. Holy Spirit, would you be the brake and the accelerator in our life?
Yeah.
The brake that causes us to stay and not to move off in our own strength and not to move off in our own frustration, but to just stay in your presence, Father. And also the accelerator, that when you move, that we start to move too. And where your presence goes, we go.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Father, you'd help us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whether it's in churches or in workplaces with our families, we would be modeling your presence to other people, not through our works, but just through our lifestyle. Our relationship with you is so deep and clear that other people see us living in your presence. Father, may the reality of your presence grow in all of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
You know, Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, is your breath.
Mm.
And Father, we ask that we would just be able to continually receive a continual infilling of your love by your Holy Spirit in a way that is as simple as breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
Yeah.
That the Ruach of God, the breath of God, would just fill each and every one of us, Father, to the full measure of your fullness today.
Yes, God.
Yes.
Thank you that you pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that you have given to us. Mm. We don't have to strive to or be lovable enough or to work to receive what you have freely poured out in an unlimited supply. So, Father, even in this very moment, would you just expand each of our capacity to contain the immeasurable fullness of your love by your indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you, Abba. Mm. Mm.
Thank you, Father. Just keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep filling us. I just had a sense that there might be someone who's watching who you feel like God has asked you to lay something down, to stop something in particular that feels quite costly for you. And you've been wondering, is this really God? Is this right? Is it the wisest thing to do? And I just feel like the Father just wants me to share that to confirm that that is him speaking, that he is asking you to lay that thing down, to stop that particular thing. And I think it's because, well, I believe it's because he wants to open up more capacity for you for something else. So Father, I just ask for whoever that's for, that you would give them faith right now, just an injection of faith, that whenever you ask us to lay things down, you always have a beautiful plan, God. You're so good. You're doing it for our good. And I just pray for faith to rush into that person's heart right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. And Wendy, a big thank you for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a privilege.
Been a joy. And just as a quick reminder, everybody, the book we've been talking about is Hosting God's Presence. Actually, we've been talking about more than the book. We've actually been talking about Hosting God's Presence. And I would really encourage you to have a look at that on Amazon, buy it, support Wendy, have a look at her website. She's got a number of resources there. But have a look at that. All of her books are on Amazon. Great. Wendy, thank you so much. And Barry and I will be back next Wednesday, same time, same place. And look forward to seeing you all then. So thank you and bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Wendy. Bless
Thanks, Wendy.
Pleasure.